And at long last, welcome in to another edition of the B-Squared Podcast. It is Monday, August 28th, 2017. The Cubs are still in first place, but they are only in first by two games, and they are only nine games over 500 as we continue the bizarro world the year after the Cubs won the World Series. I'm Jordan Bernfield. He's Brian Beto. I'm introducing ourselves, Beto, because we haven't been on in so long. People probably forgot who we were, but we're back. And the Cubs are okay, I guess, decent.
I have really mixed feelings about this. One, because it's been a while, obviously, since we've been on. The Cubs are playing like crap right now, or at least inconsistent, to say the least. Very frustrating weekend against the Phillies. Things continue to not go all that well. However, the last time we connected was right during the All-Star break, and we were 5.5 games out of first place, and now all of a sudden we're in first place by a couple and a half games. So relative to our last episode, things are going well. However, this season just continues to wane on my soul, and you know, really frustrate me to my core about what could happen. But we'll get into kind of the details and semantics of all of it. However, here we stand. We're still in first place. They're in a position to win the division, as we all anticipated, albeit so much closer than we thought it would be. But every night is it feels like a crapshoot of what's going to happen. And it's a little bit different of a far cry going back to about mid-July of 2015.
Yeah, it's been a weird year. It has been a weird season. The one thing that I would say is that because they won last year, I can't bring myself to get that angry. Like, I was talking about this with my dad earlier today. Is it bad that they lost 2 out of 3 to the Phillies? Yes. Was I frustrated watching John Lackey yell at everyone for the mistakes they made, the mistakes that shouldn't have been made, like Bryant's error, Schwarber struggling in left field? Yes, that was annoying. Then Lackey, after yelling at everybody into his glove, gives up the home run to lose the game, which is just peak John Lackey. So, yes, everything about yesterday was frustrating. But I also look at it like they won the World Series last year. They're still in first place going into September. Things could be and have been so much worse in our lives as Cub fans that I can't sit here and be that angry about where they're at. Like, it's been a weird year. They're not that good. They should be better. All the criticisms that people are making are valid, but I can't be that mad. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you look at, obviously, we'd be having a completely different conversation had the Indians come back and Michael Martinez hit a walk-off.
Oh, God.
We'd be in a way different place than we are right now.
Yes.
So I get that. However, if you're looking at this year independently of other years, yes, they're in first place. It's just things are – they've been a little bit underwhelming, and between just losing 2 out of 3 and then that piling on after getting 3 runs yesterday, and then the bad luck they had against with the triple play.
It's yes.
Just kind of a microcosm of stupid things that have gone their way. And people can say, oh, well, you know, they caught every break last year, like outsiders. It's like, you know what? They haven't caught many breaks in the 41 years of the franchise. Like, you know, like I'm not let's give them a rest for not having bad luck this year. It's okay. But just all of that combined, and Jose Quintana not pitching that well, and Jason Hayward.
How about Justin Wilson? Woof.
Oh, my gosh. We could talk about that, too, for the entire podcast.
Woof.
Hayward looking the last month like he's had outside of that Cincinnati series like he's had was last year, and just a lot of frustrating issues. But as you and not only do they lose 2 out of 3 against the Phillies, when you go into a series and the team that's directly behind you is in LA against a team that wins pretty much every day and you lose a game in the standings, it is frustrating, and I get why, and there's a lot of reasons to that. And it's just one thing after another hasn't gone right. However, they're still in a good position. This is very therapeutic for me to talk this out because I would not.
You know what? Can I tell you, though, you know that I don't get along with Cubs Twitter. that I find it to be so reactionary and crazy that I'm usually not tweeting during Cubs games. But because, like, we're friends and we probably tweet at each other enough, I a lot of times get, like, you are in my in-case-you-missed-it thing when I sign back on to Twitter.
Right, all right.
And so the one thing that I will give you, not the one thing, I give you credit for a lot of things, but one thing I will give you credit for in terms of Twitter is that your Cubs in-game Twitter is hilarious. Because even when you're furious, you still find a way to make a sarcastic Beto joke that I love, and I at least can laugh at that for 3 seconds on a night where the Cubs played terrible. So thank you at least for that, because
I'm here for it.
If it wasn't for that, I honestly like cannot use the medium, because it's like people forget that they won the World Series. I'm not saying that it absolves everything forever for the rest of time, but shouldn't we have a grace period of like a season? Like all for we've sure. wanted our whole lives was for them to win. And they
one
did
time.
One time,
time,
right?
Said one time for the rest of their lives, right?
If they would just give us one, I wouldn't care if they went 0-162 the rest of my life. How many times do we hear people say that, right? So then they win. They actually freaking won. And now we're going to like all lose our minds because they lost the Phillies on August 27th. Like, I can't get that angry. I mean, I was mad at the moment, but then like after the game, I was like, whatever. You know, it's like I'm not going to stop loving the players that helped the Cubs win the World Series, even though they're having a rough year, many of them. And the one thing that I will say is that you're right about Hayward. Lately, he just does not look like he can hit the ball with any level of, you know, hard contact at all. Kyle Schwarber is, I'm now at the point where I know that he has been much better in the second half.
A lot better.
A lot better. But if he's going to be this bad in left field and he doesn't hit the way that we expected him to, he's really not a good player, right? I mean, can we be objective in saying that? Like,
yeah,
I know that he's been way better in the second half.
He's got like a 950 OPS since he came from Iowa.
I know, but I'm saying like the overall season that he's had doesn't justify some of the like circus plays we've seen in the outfield. And I know that he's been better. But the other thing for me, Beto, is that when he makes an out, it's always a strikeout. Like he can't just put the ball in play. He is striking out so much this season. And I know, yes, he has been better in the second half, much better, but he hasn't been that good in the second half. I mean, his OPS in the second half this year is .842, which is way better, but he's still at a .333 on base in the second half with a .237 average. So it's just not, he's just not had a good season. And when you're not going to play elite defense, like, on Thursday, when, you know, everyone is questioning, and I was questioning Joe and having Schwarber and Happ in left and center when, I mean, listen, Strope didn't have it. Strope didn't execute the pitches. All fine and good. But why is Schwarber in left field and Happ in center when you need defense in a one-run game? That made no sense to me. And
zero.
My point is, that if Schwarber is not going to be the guy that you'd leave in a game late for defense, which we knew he wouldn't be anyway, and the guy is, we're now like going to say, well, hey, I mean, his OPS is .842 in the second half. I mean, it's amazing because I love the guy. He was a World Series hero. What he did last year was incredible. But I'm at the point now where I think that they shouldn't play him unless it's a spot start and Jay should be in the outfield every day because Jay makes things happen. And Schwarber is just not making things happen enough. He's just not. And I'm at that point with him.
See, I'm actually, I'm okay. Like, I think the issues lie in different areas. I think Schwarber has been a much improved player in the second half. And you know what you're going to get defensively from him. I mean, the Cubs played Jorge Soler a lot in the outfield last year. And
yeah,
it wasn't like he was really doing anything or bringing any sort of defense to the table outside of a rock of an arm, even however inaccurate it may be. I've actually been... And you know me, I love I'll be the first one to say, and I don't feel like I need to justify it here, but that Joe's a top three manager in baseball.
Oh, I love Joe. Yeah.
I mean, best. Yeah. However, he doesn't mean he's not prone to some mistakes. And while he might have good reasoning or logic behind every move he makes, I think there's some where it's very easy to question some of his decisions over the last couple of weeks, from a bunting perspective to not playing Almora in center field on that one play. And you could say, well, Almora maybe a little bit overrated defensively, and while some of the numbers might prove that a little bit true, he's still a better defensive player, so there's no reason to not have him in the game at that point. And that was just one specific instance. I don't know. There's just so many things going on right now that I don't think that would blame Schwarber being the main issue. It's just the Wilson not pitching well and not finding the zone.
Oh, Justin Wilson. Here's the thing. You bring in a Justin Wilson, and listen, I know that Jamer Candelario was blocked. He had no position with the Cubs. I get all that, fine. But you gave him up. He was your top remaining prospect left for a pitcher who right now is throwing when you're behind by five or up by eight. And
we brought him in when you're up 9-0.
I mean, like, what the?
Like a month ago, we're like, that's the scenario we envisioned it. And I get it. Right. Everyone goes through rough patches, but like, that's just really frustrating from our perspective. The get in that trade right now is the backup catcher.
Right, right. I mean, Alex Avila has been a godsend because he has been so valuable since Wilson Contreras has been injured. But, and maybe Justin Wilson will find it, and he'll be fine down the stretch. And certainly he's much better than he's pitched, at least by the numbers. But he is just – I mean, right now, I don't feel good about him pitching ever. I mean, right now, other than Davis, the only reliever that I have some confidence in is Brian Dunsing. And the other guys, I know that statistically they've had a decent year, and a lot of people are going to tell me about the bullpen ERA and this, that, and the other. But do you honestly feel confident with most of their relievers in there? I don't.
I think it's just it's been time. It just depends on the time of the year. So we went through a really rough patch with Carl Edwards. He's much, much better over the last couple of weeks, last, you know, 7-8 appearances. I think up until the last couple, Strope had been pretty darn good. Rondon's been up and down all year. Montgomery's usually pretty reliable if they're using him in a relief role. I still think overall it's a strength to an extent. It's just extremely inconsistent, and it's difficult if you do get to the playoffs to rely on certain guys to be like, okay, if I know I'm good, this guy's at least going to throw strikes and hit his spots if I bring him in. And not that that's the only thing that matters. However, there's certain guys where you just, it's a crapshoot when you bring him in.
Yeah.
In innings. And They expected Justin Wilson to be sort of this bridge to Davis, and then, if Davis leaves in free agency, then we got a closer that we can fill in. And he just hasn't been that guy. And
yeah, I don't think so.
Gets the stuff and the results to be so. He just hasn't – or the stuff and the history to be so, I guess I should say. But right now it just hasn't been like that. And a lot of frustrating areas. And it's an offensive year in all of baseball, and while some of the Cubs' top guys are putting up similar numbers to what they did last year, relatively speaking, it's not quite as impressive, and then there's just areas that they're struggling, and they're very fortunate, as Joe mentioned about 2 months ago, that geography's in their favor this year in the National League Central, and they're still somehow leading the division.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're winning the division right now. I would still bet they're going to be in the playoffs, which obviously is what it's all about. And what I have been saying to people all year is that baseball isn't about an oil painting. It's about just getting enough wins to get in. That's all that matters. I mean, I know that fans want every game to look the way it did last year, where everything was perfect and they were amazing defensively and they were great from a pitching perspective and they got all the clutch hits and they were just rolling along and they were up by a million games. Last year was magical, and in some ways they are a prisoner of their success from last year this year, because people are expecting the exact same thing. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't either. I think that there is plenty of reason to expect much better than what the Cubs have given you this year. But all that being said, you know, it's just that it's not even been close to that. But all that matters is that you get in. Even if they win 87 games and are the worst division winner, all that matters is you get in. Because I'll tell you this, and I was talking about this with a couple of buddies last week, if the Cubs get in and face the Dodgers in the first round, I know the Cubs can win. I don't know if the Dodgers can win. And I know that the Dodgers would have every reason to beat the Cubs and look better on paper in every respect in 2017. But if I'm a Dodger fan, I wouldn't want the Cubs in the first round because I know the Cubs know how to win. And I don't know if the Dodgers know how to win.
No doubt. And that's how I feel like, because obviously the likely alignment would be Cubs and Nationals based on division winners. And I feel the same way about them. And if the Cubs were to move on, is that the pressure would squarely be on that opponent. And we could talk about, you know, numbers and all that sort of thing. But there is, like we've talked about, the human element and the pressure in the postseason that obviously some teams have made known. You look at the Giants over the recent memory and those Yankees 2015 years ago, that they were just a tough out no matter what. We know the Cubs can win. We know they have the talent to do so. And if I'm a team that's like the Dodgers or the Nationals that's going to win 105+, I'm still worried about the Cubs, who are lurking based on that ability, based on what they won last year, and they know the pressures on the opposition. So it's just about getting there, and we'll see what happens. And like we said, I still fully expect them to get there. This is just who they are at this point. Is you don't, for this specific season, you just don't know. As soon as this team gets hot, you think, all right, they're back, and then they fall back a little bit. And as soon as they're really struggling, they get hot, they win five in a row. So at this point, it's hard to say that this isn't who they are. But I'm with you. I'd be really worried about running into them into October if that's what happens, if I'm one of those two teams.
Yeah, and again, I think the same thing is true of the Nationals. I mean, you're right. I was thinking of the Dodgers if they were to advance, and yes, they're likely to face the Nationals, but I think the same thing is true with respect to the Nationals. But, you know, in that, how many times have the Nationals been in the playoffs, been considered a team? Right. Every year it's like maybe this is the year they win. They've got the pitching. They've got this. They've got that. And then they don't convert that into postseason success for whatever reason. So I'm not saying that the Nationals and the Dodgers aren't better than the Cubs. They clearly are better than the Cubs this year. They're much better than the Cubs this year. That doesn't mean anything when we get to October. And so I still think that that's what this is all about. It's unfortunate that this has been so frustrating in a lot of ways. It's unfortunate that the Cubs have had so many games this year where you're like, why is this happening, right? How many times have you sat in front of your television and said, why is this happening? It's happened way too much. But at the same time, all it's about is, can they win more games than the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Reds? And as of right now, they have won more games. And that is all that matters for the rest of this season, even if it's going to be painful at times and they're going to trudge along and we're going to be annoyed. That's what this thing is about. And I think that the Cubs are still going to win enough games to be in October. And then we take our shot and we see where this thing goes. But, you know, one of the things, you know, I look at the statistics of this Cubs team this year, Beto, and I say, and you mentioned it, Rizzo statistically, and I mean, you just, anyone that's watching them play every day, he's having a heck of a year, really good season. Chris Bryant is having a good year statistically, but I think we all agree that he has not looked anywhere near like the MVP that he was a year ago. He's just not hitting as much in the clutch. He's hit a lot more, you know, singles and doubles. At this time last year, he was well over 30 home runs. At this point, he's not. You know, it's just, he's had a good year. He's just not had a MVP Chris Bryant style year, right? I think that we could agree on that. And, you know, everybody else in the roster, Wilson Contreras was having a much better year. Russell's obviously been hurt. Schwarber, we didn't really know exactly where we were going to get, has been way down. Hayward has been up statistically from that awful season he had last year, but it's kind of been fits and starts with him. And Zobrist has had a really down year this year, but they're still in first place. I think that the biggest area of concern for me is the starting pitching, because for the most part this year, it's really just been okay. I mean, other than Arrieta, who I think has had a very good season, you know, Hendricks was hurt and his velocity's down, and some games he looks good, some games he doesn't. John Lester, I'll love him forever for what he did last year, but he's had some really just miserable starts this year. And like you said, Quintana has been okay since he's come over, but not what we expected. And I think we all kind of knew that John Lackey would probably take a step back, if nothing, then for his age. And at age 38, I think there have been good things from Lackey at times, but, you know, there have been plenty of rough games for him too. So I think the pitching has been the biggest disappointment for me, and that's why they are where they are.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I was crushing Lackey earlier in the year, so I get to give him some props because I crushed him earlier, that he's been really competitive. And it would have been pretty easy for him, not necessarily to cave in, but thinking that his career was pretty much over, at least his Cubs tenure was over. I read somewhere on Twitter, and I might be wrong, but it was on the internet, so I'm assuming it's true because everything on the internet is true.
Obviously.
Before yesterday, Mike Stanton, or Giancarlo Stanton, excuse me, had hit 30 home runs between John Lackey's starts that the Cubs lost. So they'd won that many starts in between losses, between yesterday and the last time he lost. So
that's amazing.
He's been really competitive. He's been much better. Hendricks hasn't been obviously as good. I feel like he's been okay. Lester's had a couple of starts that has ballooned his ERA, even though I will still claim that start against was at Cincinnati, where it was 9-0 and they came back and ultimately lost.
Yeah.
That was a lot of little like C&I singles and bloopers that kind of fell in. And he's been okay. Jake Arrieta has been pretty darn good from where we talked last time.
Yeah, and he's really turned it on. He's been very consistently good.
Really good. Jose Quintana's had a couple of good starts. He's had some starts where he's really struggled in the first inning, and that's been really frustrating. I think I tweeted out the other night that I'm trying my best to not tweet out hot takes about Jose Quintana.
Yes, I saw. Yes.
But it is frustrating, and you looked at the beginning of the second half when they got off to that hot start. They finally sort of went away from that, we're going to give a bunch of runs in the first inning, where they didn't give up barely any in the first inning over the first few weeks. That started to trickle back in a little bit, and that's going to happen. You're not going to repeat what you did last year from a starting pitching-wise. I still think that's the main reason, like you, that they're inconsistent at times, is it's just a much different offense and different approach when you're chasing runs early. And that's what the Cubs have done at times. I know this week not really withstanding with jumping ahead 3 in the first yesterday and then giving it up. I don't know. I'm with you about the whole just get in and see what happens. We talked last year when the Cubs were clearly the best team in all of baseball going into October that it's nothing's given. Even the best team or the odds on favorite wins about 20% of the time. And I look at some of the World Series champions going back the last 10 years. You look at, oh, wait, maybe the Cubs are the best team in the NL. They don't even make it out of the first round. They get swept by the Dodgers. The Phillies win the World Series. The Cardinals won in 06 after 83 wins. I know they had some guys returning from injury. That made it a little bit deceiving, but still, the Cardinals again in 2011. Then you have the Giants those 3 years where they weren't considered to be the best team. So it's just like you mentioned, just get in, be playing okay. They got the experience. They have the talent, and we'll see what happens. Do we have the best chance like we did last year going into the postseason? No, we're not going to, because the way the Dodgers are playing and their home field advantage doesn't mean that it can't happen. And it's just about this point, just winning more games like you mentioned than the rest of the National League Central.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it becomes. And I think that the way that the Cubs have performed is obviously frustrating and all that. But, you know, no one's going to care if they make a decent run in the postseason, right? I mean, I really think that where we're at now is all that matters is that, I mean, I think people would be frustrated if they didn't make the playoffs. But do you agree with me that if, as long as they make the playoffs, whatever happens, I think it was a reasonable season given the talent that they have?
Think about, when's the last time the Cubs made 3 consecutive postseasons?
Has it ever happened?
I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah.
I know when it's happened last, and maybe I'm wrong, but correct me if I'm wrong. The answer would be 1906, 1907, and 1908.
You're right. Right, because they were in the World Series.
Lost in 1906 to the White Sox when they had 116 wins.
Right.
So I agree with you. You look at, and everyone's saying that this team is the 05 Red Sox. I don't think it's that wrong, or that, I don't think it's much of a hot take to say that. There's a lot of similarities. There's a reason. There is statistical proof about some sort of World Series hangover, and I'm not using that as an excuse. But I agree with you. I mean, the goal is to get to October every year. And the fact that they, if they get there and made three straight Octobers, an NLCS, a World Series championship, and then a division championship, this isn't the NBA. This isn't the Bulls of the 90s. This is not the Warriors right now. It's extremely difficult to do that in baseball. You know, the Cardinals have proved otherwise at times, or the Braves of the 90s and early 2000s. It's still, I agree with you that I think if they get there, even though if they might underperform, I think rationally when the season ends, and I'm not making an excuse for them, that we'll think of this as like, okay, the fact that they made where they were in 2014 and they made it three straight years, including a World Series title, we're going to take that, and we have a good chance to get there again in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's obviously going to be frustrating if they can't do more than reach the postseason. But I'll tell you, I mean, because obviously the team's going to look a little different next year. Jake Arrieta likely to be gone, and so there's going to be probably another starter or two added to this roster between now and the beginning of 2018. But, you know, they have the talent to be the best team in this division. They really haven't played like it, but because the division has struggled, they're in first place. So you take what you can. You hope that, you know, if you're the Cubs, that you get in, you roll the dice. And listen, what did we say? What did Theo and Jed say when they took over this thing? That they wanted to build a team that could get to the dance multiple times so that they could roll the dice. In one of those years, the Cubs would be the team that would win the World Series. As it turned out, they had a completely linear progress, even though Theo is famous for saying progress isn't linear, because they won the World Series in 5 years by increasing their win total each season and going on to win the whole thing. But, you know, the fact that they've already won doesn't change the stated goal, which is to continue to build a team that can be a division winner in the playoffs every single year with a chance to be the team that gets hot and wins. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's been a rough year in certain respects, but they are in first place. They're two games ahead. They're not awful. They're good. They're just not great. And if anything, I like the fact that now we've gotten to an era in Cubs baseball where we're not going to just settle for being in first place, that we want to be a great team because we know that they can be. And so it's a new era, and I like this era. And so our problems are first world. So I guess it brings me back to what I was saying to you before, which is that it's annoying, and there have been a lot of frustrating things about this season, but that's why I can't get that mad, because how many times did you and I joke about how bad they were? Like in 2006 when they won 66 games, or when they started this rebuilding effort and they lost 100 games, and we were joking about when they were playing Houston the last weekend of the year and both teams had 100 losses. I mean, it's been so much worse than this. So the people that are losing their minds, I get it, because that's how fans can be. But at the same time, like, take a step back. It's okay. It's not great. They haven't played great, but it could be so much worse than this.
For sure. And, I mean, we did a show in 2010 every day when they won 60-something games.
And I know. And we're still alive after that.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
However, believe it or not, it is okay to feel frustration about where they're currently at, but also think it's okay based on the fact they're in first place. Those are not mutually exclusive things, believe it or not. So we can be frustrated where they're at, which I am. And in the moment, I'm going to tweet something ridiculous because I'm angry at what's going on. But in the big picture, the fact that they won last year, not only that, it's not going to absolve them of everything, but they're in first place again this year. They're set up for some long-term success with the young, inexpensive talent they have, with some upcoming roster turnover. It just, like, I sometimes see the frustration of, like, they're a disaster, they're a complete failure this year, and other people saying, you know what, it doesn't matter, they're all good. It's okay to feel both, because both things are applicable. So I feel like that's where I am right now. I get caught up in the heat and the short term, because that's what we've done our entire lives. But it's okay to do that as long as you realize where they've been and how far they've come in the last couple of years and how they're still in first place. So I'm going to continue to get infuriated when they lose to the Fighting Mickey Morandinis. I will.
By the way, the fact that it said Mickey Moe on the back of his jersey was awesome.
It was so great. I was so happy. It would have, the only thing that could have been better is if they curled it around it and it said the Danny Little Glove Man. Literally would have to make a full rainbow over his jersey to say that.
That would have been amazing.
But at the same time, you know, it's okay. And I feel like we'll be all right. The schedule's still pretty favorable, and we'll see what happens here this week.
Yeah, and amazingly, this season, according to Baseball Reference WAR, the Cubs don't have one pitcher in the top five in WAR, when last year they definitely had pitchers in the top five in WAR because they had two guys that were vying for the Cy Young Award in Kyle Hendricks, or should I say Hendo, as it said on his Players Weekend jersey, and John Lester. And this year, you know, Hendricks has a 1.9 WAR. Arrieta is a 1.8 WAR. That's weird that Arrieta could be lower than Hendricks. That's got to be wrong. But either way, and, you know, the Cubs are just kind of okay. But hopefully they hang on for another month. They win this division, and then we can have October baseball here in Chicago once again. So, Beto, the Cubs the rest of the way have a lot of games against division opponents. So, really, they have no one to blame but themselves if they don't get in the postseason, because they're playing all these teams that have been about 500 or a little bit worse. And as we record tonight, they're about to take on the Pittsburgh Buccos. And again, the schedule favors them, but it did last week when they went to Cincinnati and Philadelphia and they went 3-3. But what are you expecting for this week besides 7-0 against the Pirates and Braves?
Well, I came into this podcast saying I'm not predict the Cubs to go undefeated. Just not realistic. However, since we started, I mentioned how therapeutic this was. I then remembered that Sean Rodriguez is back on the Pirates. And I expect
he is? Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I expect full motivation from the Cubs. I expect water coolers to go flying at Wrigley Field. That's an obvious sweep. And then the Cubs stay hot and they sweep the weekend on Labor Day. And they take a commanding 5-plus game lead in the National League Central. And next time we talk about this, we're only talking about and previewing our playoff matchups and not whether or not they're going to win the division. So there you have it. Don't bother watching Cubs baseball the rest of this week. You know the results.
By the way, I'm tweeting at you immediately if something bad happens in tonight's game. You know that.
I believe, and the game starts in 2 minutes when we broadcast. Better get off before I say that, because otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. Remember last time we did that and then the Cubs gave up like 3 runs in the first.
Yes.
So after I predicted the Cubs a perfect week, they lost immediately. The game was over within 5 minutes. So
yes,
hopefully that's not the same thing tonight.
Yes. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But so you predict 7-0. I'm going to predict that the Cubs go 5-2 this week. I think they're going to play better at home. Obviously, the Pirates and the Braves are not difficult teams. I have no reason to be optimistic, but I am optimistic. I think they're going to go 5-2. So those are our predictions for the week, and let's hope we're right, or at least let's hope that you're right, Beto, and that they go 7-0. That would be much better.
Yes.
But thanks, as always, for listening to our podcast. How do you find us on Facebook?
Search for the B-Squared Show, your source for all Cubs talk all of the time.
And you can also follow us on Twitter. He's at Brian Beto. I'm at Jordan Burnfield, because we're both extremely creative people. And we will talk to you next time. I don't know when, but hopefully soon, on the B Squared Podcast. See you later.